y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
One, two, three.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Well, here we are. It is Miguel and Holly, uncensored. A few hours after we just found out who is the 45th president of the United States of America. My name is Miguel Fuller. That is Holly O'Connor.
Hi.
And that is producer Ryan McGivney. He's drinking his drink.
Hey.
So we found out this wonderful piece of news just a few hours ago.
Right now, a historic moment. We can now project the winner of the presidential race. CNN projects Donald Trump wins the presidency. The business tycoon and TV personality capping his improbable political journey with an astounding upset victory. Donald J. Trump will become the 45th president of the United States, defeating Hillary Clinton in a campaign unlike anything we've seen in our lifetime.
Ain't that the truth?
Wow.
I haven't seen anything like this, and I have been voting since 2000. I know I'm old. Get over it.
Wow. So here we are. We did a morning show today where we talked about it, and I'm not going to lie, when I woke up this morning, because when I went to bed last night around 11:40, it obviously was still up in the air.
Yeah.
There was still a path for Hillary Clinton to win. So, but it was, you could tell just from like the way that everyone on CNN was looking that they were like, well, we didn't see this happening.
Right.
Holy crap. Like, what is happening right now? None of our projections we thought were going this way. So I was like, well, maybe I'll wake up and it'll be the news that I, as a Hillary Clinton supporter, wanted to hear. And then when I woke up and I got on Facebook first and all I saw were just a bunch of people just saying, I'm disgusted, I'm sad, I'm scared. What does this mean for me as a gay person? I was like, well, I guess we know what happened.
That's funny because I looked at my CNN push notifications and I was like, oh, CNN, don't lie. CNN is the truth.
I did see someone last night late last night who said that they were going back and forth between the three cable networks, and they said CNN was the most neutral, that they just talked about the facts. Like, they were just doing numbers, whereas the other networks, I guess, had pundits on and who were, like, speculating and talking, where CNN, because John King is a freaking beast.
I mean, he was like a machine with that magic wall last night.
And I'll tell you, I have a friend from high school and college who works at CNN, and he said that's how John King is. Because if you look, because one of my friends last night at our viewing party was like, is John King looking at a teleprompter? And I'm like, no. Like, he knows every county in America and who lives there, who has a college degree, how much the median income is. I mean, it's insane.
He named your mom and them on, like, Laurel Street. That's what happened. And it's really crazy because I watched a tiny bit of it because really things didn't start to flow in until about 8 p.m. And that was, we've been doing this crazy 10 and 10 thing, and I've been trying to go to bed, which I'll talk about in a second. Like, I've been trying to go to bed at 8 p.m. for the past 3 days. So the election stuff didn't start rolling in until 8 p.m. And I thought, I'm going to have to push it at least a little bit.
Right.
And just watching that magic wall, which, by the way, can I have one of those?
Right.
Like, anyway,
I mean, there's so much data in there. Goodness gracious.
He was just touching and going and touching and going. And I was like, I am just fascinated in watching this man work.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd like to have lunch with him ever. But
yeah, someone said it's sort of like watching, and I don't know if this is the politically correct thing to say, but it's like watching someone who is autistic, who is very good with numbers and facts and figures. And the way that he just, I mean, literally he can zoom in unwarranted to any county and be like, Pinellas County in 2012, they voted this way, and in the quarter here. And it's just like, where do you store all that information in your head?
Yeah.
And how do you study for that? Like, we just sit down.
You don't really study for that. That's somebody who just really enjoys knowing that. It's not studying. It's just he likes to absorb and learn. It's not studying. It's learning.
That is insane. I wish my brain would learn like that. I don't know anything. But so here we are. here we are on the morning that we have learned that Donald Trump is our president elect. And here's him speaking about it a little bit last night, if you didn't hear his victory speech.
I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton. She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory. And I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean, she fought very hard. Hillary has worked very long and very hard over a long period of time, and we owe her a major debt of gratitude for her service to our country. I mean that very sincerely. Now it's time for America to bind the wounds of division. We have to get together. To all Republicans and Democrats and independents across this nation, I say it is time for us to come together as one united people.
I'm afraid, to be honest with you. I'm afraid that Donald Trump says that, and I think he believes that, because this is what I remember a pundit saying back a few months ago, is they were like, I don't believe that Donald Trump is all this stuff that people says he is. I don't think he's a racist. I don't think that he's a bigot. I don't think that he's homophobic. I think that he's a smart businessman who is playing to this anger to these people that feel like their country has been taken away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that that is an untapped market that he can mine. And obviously he did, and he's won.
Right. I think he is brilliant at mind manipulation too.
Yeah.
Not that I'm not saying that in like a rude, mean, like a mean-spirited way. I just think that to get that far in any kind of political game, you have to be. So yeah, I agree. I agree with that thought that, you know, but I worry because he's never been part of this political system, and I feel like it's about to be a big wake-up call.
And I guess that's where my fear comes from, is that he used that strategy to get into the White House, but now you've gotten people, you've stoked the fire, and the fire's big. Can you contain the fire?
I don't know if he's going to be really allowed to be that offensive anymore.
Right.
He has so many people around him. Like, they took away his Twitter that right before. So I don't think he's going to be allowed to do a lot of that stuff that he did during his campaign.
Because and maybe that's what people were voting on. Do you know what I mean?
What do you mean?
I don't know if people were voting on, like, well, I think some people were voting on the fact that they thought that Donald J. Trump was going to go in there like a bull in a china shop and rough it up.
Right.
But I think there was a lot of Trump voters who figured, okay, well, he's kind of a figurehead. What we need is some new blood in there, some political blood that not will control him, but will make the decisions for him.
I mean, what is he going to go in there and take away? You can't really take away rights once you give them to people.
I mean, you can, but would be a big upset, though.
That would cause a civil war.
Yeah, that would be
so
a major
So nobody
upset.
Is ever going to do that. They're not going to be like, oh, gays can't get married now, women can't vote, or some dumb crap like that, you know?
Right. I just feel like he's going to be... I honestly kind of feel bad because there's no way for him to win at this point. Like, this is probably the super most popular he's going to be for a while.
Right.
Because what's going to happen is he's going to let down the people that think that he's going to go in fire and brimstone.
Mm-hmm.
Because you really can't.
Right.
And then there's going to be the people that are, this may work out to his favor, the people who think he also is going to go in fire and brimstone and doesn't. And they're like, okay. Let me cautiously see what's about to happen.
Right.
Because I feel like it is a complete mystery. I really don't think anybody knows how he's going to handle.
Yeah, how is he going to handle that big old wall that he's,
right.
he's preaching about?
Okay, let me talk to you. Let me. I'm glad you said wall. Because this morning, I had like a litany of shit flooding through my head.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the thoughts that crossed my mind was, can we just be for real about this fucking wall for a minute?
I don't even think it's going to happen.
Like, ain't no nobody building a literal fucking wall. Like, who? Home Depot gonna come in with some fucking bricks? And they'll be like, where did you want me to start? Over here by the Rio Grande over
here? Well, he could pay for it by getting sponsors. Home Depot is plastered all over the wall. Or Lowe's.
Somehow CeCe's Pizza is like, we'll set up shop around it.
You know who I feel
you
like?
You got like glitten paint in there too or something.
Geico for some reason is always involved. Like, they're gonna be flying one of their planes maybe.
It's basically just advertisements.
Right. I just feel like the jig is up with the wall. Am I right? No one's actually going to build this wall.
Well,
I think
he might actually try to pull like healthcare stuff.
Right. I think
that might be like one of the big first things.
Is healthcare. Well, I don't think there's going
to
be a wall.
I think when it comes to the wall, I mean, I feel like because he said that we're going to build a wall and Mexico is going to pay for it. I mean, are you going to send them a bill? Like, how are you going to make them
pay?
Where's
the money coming from?
Like, when a bill collector calls me, if I don't want to pay, I don't pay, and they don't get money. So you can't just make money magically appear.
For you, they'd put you in jail if you didn't pay.
Right.
Can we put Mexico in jail?
All of it. All of it. We're just going to put a big dome around Mexico.
So what I think is, I think some of maybe, like, people that didn't vote for Trump are getting a little out of, like, because it's a scary thing. But I think we have to realize, like, I can't imagine that we're going to build a wall.
Right. Well, I was
that Mexico pays for.
No, I was listening to NPR this morning on the way to one of our stops. Cause we have a long drive.
Right.
As we're broadcasting live.
Girl.
And I was listening to them this morning, and they said that here's the part that scares people in the political system is that any political figure that's run for president, Mitt Romney, John McCain, you know, George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, all these people, they had trusted advisors that had been in the system for a long time. I mean, and that's, you know, why people love Donald Trump. And here's the thing that they're nervous about is, who are those people? Who are these people that on, you know, January 20th, when he gets sworn into office and he gets the codes and all of a sudden all the dignitaries come calling and all of a sudden there's a crisis in the Sudan? Who does he go to? Because he doesn't know that stuff.
Right.
He doesn't.
No.
Now, granted, Barack Obama didn't know all that stuff. He was just a junior senator from Chicago. But he had those people that said, hey, so here's the situation. Here's our advice on what you should do, but ultimately this is your judgment call. We don't know who those people are for Donald Trump.
Right.
And these are the moments where I wish we had someone, you know, on the show or that we knew that was like, I'm Donald Trump and I can calmly tell you why. And, you know, just like true, like not just he's going to build a wall and we're going to take America back.
Because a lot of what we heard was just these boisterous, blustery things
that were
just phrases that people could latch onto.
Right.
Like, where is the meat of some of this stuff? Some of it, when they actually started, I think, the third debate and they were civil for like the first 15 minutes, I was like, OK, this is a man who's speaking business mindedly and I can at least listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that Donald Trump? Is that the Donald Trump we're getting now, where can he tell us, like, who are these advisors and how he's like, I can take care of ISIS better than anybody. Okay, but you said that, and now we're living in an arena where it's like, okay, but really, what did you mean when you said that?
Right, like, what?
You can't just keep repeating that,
right?
And that's going to do it.
Like, what's the logical
ain't gonna do
step?
It.
Like, what are we doing right now?
Who? That's what most concerns me, is foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just seems like he's about to piss off the entire world.
Right.
And that scares me.
And when they came out with, like, the people around him might have had ties with Russia, they blamed it on, like, the people that were in his circle.
Right.
And then he becomes president and Russia's like, what up, dude? Congrats, bro. Right.
Yeah. They're literally like, congratulations.
No, they did.
Maybe we can work together on making sure the world's secure. Like, what?
These are the things that concern me globally. I mean, obviously, I have a lot of concern as I try to consider myself and I try to make myself better daily as being a gay ally. And so I have concerns for a lot of my brothers and sisters in the gay community. But I also worry globally, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Do you know? I don't know. I want somebody that knows.
This is why I wish we were doing this live so we could have people call up who voted for Trump. Because I just want to know, because I saw that, you know, Hillary Clinton, the reason why she lost, she underperformed in every category, in blacks, in women, educated women, non-educated women. I think the only one she didn't underperform in were millennials, but everything else she underperformed in. So I would just be curious in what made people want to vote for Donald Trump. I would just be so curious.
Right.
So feel free to tweet us if you listen to the podcast and we haven't scared you away with our 15 minutes of, and I don't think we're bashing. We're just, this is like everyone else in the country.
Questions.
Exactly. We're like everyone else in the country now. We're just curious.
Yeah. And you know, honestly, I think one of the things that was, Hillary's undoing, even from the get-go, is it seemed like something was amiss. I mean, I know they cleared her with all those emails, but like her camp and when all that stuff happened with the emails, it was almost just like it was brushed over. And I think I was like, I don't know, whatever. I know a lot of people use private servers. It seems that pretty much everybody in the White House has used a private server.
Right.
I read a whole article one time about how there were emails that were missing from George Bush's stuff, and then nobody. It was like during the 9/11 times, and they still haven't found those damn emails.
Right.
Don't get me started on that. But like, I get, like, I'm like, whatever the emails. But it did seem like there was never like an owning up or like a here's what. And then within the DNC itself is that shit that went down with Bernie and how the DNC basically, if we want to use a term, boxed out, if there ever was a term,
right,
they boxed Bernie out.
Yeah.
And like the media really did help to do that. So it just seemed like, it really seemed like this slick machine. And I feel like people that have, that are independent, that ever waver, they're like, I don't like this. I feel like I'm being taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. And I don't love Hillary Clinton, and I maybe would have voted for her, but not now. Not that, like, I feel manipulated by her people. And
right.
I think that's what part of it was. I think. Now, I could be wrong. And also, there could be a lot of other stuff, too. But for me, I think just looking at it, trying to step back, it came from that.
Holly, as a woman, how does it feel? I know that I saw there was a video, a viral video going around of the CNN commentator Van Jones. He's African American, and last night, as it was becoming apparent that Donald Trump was going to win, he said, "How do I tell my daughter that, you know, you stand up to bullies, you come prepared, you have experience, you have the qualifications, and you still don't win?
We're still fighting that battle.
What do you tell your daughter? What do I tell my daughter?" That's what he said last night.
I think that's what that if there ever was a showcase for it's still not equal and there's still an unspoken bias, it's what happened.
Do you think that had something to do with it?
Sure. Absolutely. Not for everyone, but definitely there's a minority in this country, even from women themselves, who were like, "Oh, I don't know if a woman can handle this." Like, I heard those words come out of a woman's mouth once. And I know there's still a bias. And so for me, it's like, well, we're not in a time yet where we are able to know that there is true 100% equality.
Yeah.
And it's really disappointing. And like I said on the air this morning, I was like, it would have been so cool. And a 3-year-old would not understand this. But in my mind, it would have been so cool to have my daughter grow up in a world where it's always possible to have a woman president in the United States.
Right.
We're not there yet. And I mean, feel like emotional about it.
I mean, it is possible. There are a lot of people that supported that.
Right. No, there
are. That was the bad choice.
Yeah, it was. It was a bad choice, I
and
guess.
And it's not like anybody... I mean, I don't know. There might not be as much push from like that side to give people more rights like Obama did. But there's enough people in this country that can fight for it.
Right.
And just make their words spoken. Your words aren't different now that there's a different president. It's not going to change the things that you've already gotten. And if just everybody spreads their love around and makes those people that hate and discriminate and all that, make them feel stupid. And literally, one by one, they'll stop doing it.
Right.
And that's how every other obstacle was overcome by these groups of people women, blacks, everything,
right,
was slow one by one conversation, making that not like arguing with them, but just make it not socially normal to do that to people.
And I think we're still in that battle. It gets a slow, like, exactly,
it's a slow,
like,
progression, yes, mm-hmm, but it's still going. Even before this 8-year Obama streak, like, everybody's up to this point, it's a progression. So we just need to keep it going. And the more people that get into that, it's going to exponentially grow, because once you tell your friend, it's like a tree. Those friends tell four people, and like everybody starts acting like that. So it's like an exponential growth. Keep it up and it'll keep moving.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's just in some people's minds, you're not going to change. So those people will just.
Yeah. And eventually those people will die.
Right. No, it's true. Because, I mean, you still deal with people who they just don't have. They're ignorant to it, and they don't want to hear anything else.
Right.
Because it threatens their worldview. And that gets into psychology, and it really is rooted in fear, is what that is. In fear of change and what's going to happen to me. Like, especially if you kind of like how life is right now, you're like, what does this change really mean for me?
Or if it's not, like, making them accept it, just be tolerant or don't say anything if you don't have anything nice to say, you know?
Yeah,
I think that's what scares me and a lot of gay people. I mean, I was telling you earlier, Holly, that I have two gay friends on Facebook that are getting married next week. Mm-hmm. And you could just see, like, if I pulled up their Facebook page, you could just sort of see the, oh my gosh, we're so excited for the night. We're going to find out. I'm with her. Hashtag, I got it. And then you could just see the, like, oh my God, what is happening to our country? Oh my goodness. And then by the end, they were like, what literally does this mean for my marriage that's happening in a week?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What does this mean for our future and for the kids we may want to have someday?
What's kind of nice, though, is that it's literally the exact same country as it was yesterday.
Right.
So the amount of people that are in support of that didn't suddenly, like, disappear.
Right.
Yes.
It's just that, you know, in this particular instance, like, there are different reasons why people may have voted for Donald Trump, and that might not have been, you know.
Definitely.
So it's not as though suddenly the country turned into completely LGBT unfriendly.
And the places that you live, say, like, one state is certain about it and the other one is so against it, it's still like that.
Yeah.
Statewide. And you might just not have the president that's going to make an executive order about it.
You know, I agree with what you're saying, but I will tell you it makes you a little fearful, because to me, like, when Holly and I lived in Panama City, and I always tell the story about how when I first moved to Panama City in 2008 and they had the Yes on Two signs, that was a constitutional amendment for gay marriage in Florida.
Right.
And I never felt comfortable in my skin in Panama City. Like, when I was dating someone, you would never catch me holding their hand. But I knew moving down here, this is a more liberal area. This is usually that happens. I mean, you can see the election. When you look, even if a state is red, when you pull into the map and you see the urban centers, that's where normally it's a little bit more blue, people a little bit more progressive, a little bit more accepting. And I thought, okay, this is cool. So, like, I hold my boyfriend's hand when we're out in public and stuff.
Right.
But then for me, just personally, even though I know that today on November 9th is not any different than November 8th, but just seeing that just the county I live in, Pinellas, you know, that it was red. Even though I know maybe most of those people love gay people and they come to St. Pete Pride and they love it, but it just makes you it just makes your heart die just a little bit. That you're like, what were those people really voting on? Like, what did they feel like their country needed to be taken back from?
But that's the thing that you don't know.
You don't.
Yeah, you
don't
know.
But it doesn't take away the feeling of fear.
That's because this is you. I mean, you're going to have that. And there's nothing anybody can say that could change you from feeling like that.
Yeah, but that's valid.
It is. And so I think that's to be respected. Mm. But at the same time, though, like, you just don't, it's the unknown. And, like, other people are fearful for different reasons. This happens to be
There's a lot of people that are like that. But I think a lot of people that I talk to that even I know that voted for Trump or wanted that, it's because they didn't want corrupt Hillary, quote unquote.
Right.
So,
you know what I would be curious about too is if you were to talk to someone who, because there were a lot, the people that are so angry, that were angry in this election, that wanted Trump, that didn't want the same, that wanted to take America back, 8 years ago, they felt like how I felt when Obama was elected, because they were like, oh my God, there's this Muslim black man who's going to be president.
He's going to take our guns.
They're going to take our guns. They're going to let all these Muslims come into our country. Like, what is America going to look like in 4 years and then 8 years when he was reelected? And so I wonder, talking to those people, if they truly felt like their country was a different place than when George W. Bush was ending his 8 years. Mm. And why? So I'm just curious.
You're talking about the ending of Bush versus the ending of Obama?
Right.
Or,
because,
or beginning of Obama?
Yeah, because I feel like it's sort of, it can be parallel, where they felt like their America needed to be taken back from whatever that is. And I still don't know what that is. You know, why do they, like, you know, because as you could hear the pundits talking about, you know, like those, like in Michigan, where you had the typically Democratic white folks who had industry jobs or manufacturing jobs, who they've been taken away because of where America is progressing with technology, where the world is progressing with technology, you know, and those jobs are leaving. Mm-hmm. And so how they were angry, they're like, where the fuck are our jobs? Like, what has been happening? And it just happened to coincide with where Obama was. And so you could see where in their minds it's that fault.
Like,
it's their fault.
And their life actually did change, because their jobs actually did go away.
Literally. Like, when you look
at
those towns, there's nothing there.
And I can see that because of the healthcare reform. And because of, like, the things imposed on businesses that made them cut costs and all that stuff.
Right.
Which it really hurts people like me trying to get a full-time job.
Yeah.
Because the businesses don't want to pay that salary anymore.
Yes. Right.
And they don't have, they just had to make so many cuts that they can't, but they might want to, but they're just hindered by the government. So, like, in my eyes, I don't agree with all that stuff that Obama did. But I do vote Republican in that regard,
mm-hmm.
because it allows more free enterprise. It, mm-hmm. it allows mm-hmm. more people, like, to breathe and companies to do what they want, whether they become corrupt or not. It allows me to live easier, and, like, maybe somebody will see I can get a job better or something. And, like, right now, I can't work more than 29 hours a week.
Mm.
And he did that because he wanted part-timers to have health care,
right?
If they work more than that.
But
well, no,
they
just
did,
cut my hours back.
Yeah, right. What they did was, well, we're not going to give you health care. We're not going to give you hours.
And now the new one is, if you make less than $48,000, you work more than 40 hours a week, when you're in a salaried job, you have to be paid overtime.
Mm.
So they're just going to cut people's hours and make them do it all in 40 hours a week.
Right.
And they're not going to hire anybody else.
There's always these ways around it.
Exactly. Right. They're all just jumping through loopholes. And honestly, if I owned a company that large, I might jump through some of those loopholes too.
Mm.
Anybody's going to try to do that, because they're trying to make money to have themselves live. So the other side is how I see that to be better, because you don't cut corners.
Mm. But I think a lot of people are like you, in that some of your views are more right-leaning or like, you know, conservative-leaning, and some of your views are more liberal-leaning. Most people are not on the ends of the spectrum.
No.
I know. There's like, why can't somebody be right down the middle? And I don't understand why it has to be so divided.
Because it's people have to build a case for their side. And so they have to make it a story of extremes.
It's like two-dimensional.
Exactly.
I feel like there's enough people that are in the middle, though, that I don't know why that party can't, like, wedge itself in the middle during this race.
Well,
why?
This is what I think is going to have to happen, is that both sides, like, where we are today, and, you know, Holly and I are in our early 30s. By the time, like, we retire, I truly think that our political party system will look different, because you can already see where, you know, you have most, especially millennials, who we're the largest group, generational group.
I think we did
living right now.
Overtake the baby boomers.
We did. We have. We've officially overtaken the baby boomers. And most of us believe that. The majority of us think that, you know, you should be able to work and get fair play. And we, you know, if you want to be gay and you want to do your thing, girl, do your thing.
Women's
whatever.
Rights.
Women's rights. Most of us believe that. And it's those outside fringes that are the ones that are, you know, want to restrict rights or whatever. Mm-hmm. There is going to have to be a way to make all that fit. and they just don't know. We don't know how.
Right.
But I promise you, when we start to retire, what we're voting on, and when our people start becoming of age to be able to run for president, it's going to look different.
Which is so weird, by the way.
You have to be 35, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I say how weird it is to be coming up on a cusp of, like, we're going to be the change makers?
Yeah.
Who? Like, who are these people? Is it the Jeff Sindelar that I went to high school with who always wanted to get into politics?
Right.
And who has, like, a career in politics?
It's like the people that were in student government in college.
Right, that are, like, way smarter than me in high school.
Yeah. I have a couple friends that, like, one of them's running for mayor of St. Pete Beach right now. Mm. Like, he could be that person in the future.
Right.
And he's really good. And, like, a couple of student government people from USF, and they've been doing big things. So.
Hey.
I know. Let Miguel get his plug in here for how.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Hey.
Go ahead.
I was senior class president.
Or it could be Miguel then.
And don't forget, more importantly, I was president of the Student Government Association at South Georgia College.
Well.
That's a little known fact I never leak out.
Root a toot.
Just
Why
saying.
Don't you go do something then?
Or you just can just
I don't
go.
Know. I may.
Well, apparently you don't need any sort of presidential or political background to be president, so go for it, Miguel.
If this election has taught us anything, I guess it really is that anybody can be president.
Literally.
You could start your campaign now.
You just need money.
You do.
Yeah,
you
go
just
fund
need
me.
Money. Go fund me.
Kickstarter.
Kickstarter.
I want to be president.
Yeah.
I'm coming for you in 3-4 years.
Yeah.
I'm coming for you.
It's so interesting the way this whole thing works out. And I really, truly, I'm trying to remain optimistic because there's a lot of negative holes you can go down.
Right.
But I really, I want to try to remain optimistic. And I, having a kid now especially makes me see that in a different way because I want to try to be like, okay, so we didn't get what we want. Do we cry about it?
Right.
We can feel sad about it.
You
but
cry
like,
a little bit.
You cry, but then you do what adults do, which is I would never tell a kid that, but
right.
like what the example you set is how can we continue to work towards making everything better?
You fight. You keep fighting.
You do. And you continue to make your voice heard. So we will.
Well, there we go.
Man.
I'm all talked out about.
I don't know who wants to listen to this one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, for the people that tune in to us talk about sex, you want to talk about sex real quick?
I know, right?
Who got fucked?
On this edition of Miguel and Holly Uncensored, who got fucked?
Holly, you get fucked this weekend? Oh! Ryan, you get fucked this weekend?
Yeah. Is that a question?
Oh, so there you go. You got your little bit of sexualness.
Did you?
Before, no, I was drunk all weekend. So
oh, that's
no,
unfortunate.
There was no sex was had in my apartment this weekend, unfortunately. It's coming up, though.
Oh.
Hey.
Nice. What's coming up?
Sex.
Oh.
My dick.
Oh, my God. Wow. There you go.
Ba-dun-ts.
All right, so hopefully you provided 45 seconds of craziness to outweigh the 31 minutes of political talk.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're done. Don't forget, if you are living in Tampa Bay and you listen to the Uncensored podcast and maybe you don't get a chance to listen to the regular Miguel and Holly show, we are doing this whole 10 Tampa Bay 10 and 10.
Yeah, it's 10 cities around Tampa Bay in 10 days. Excuse me, which means that we broadcast from a different. We go to McDonald's. Mm-hmm. They're like sponsoring.
It means we get up real early, mm-hmm. and drive far af.
Yes.
Yeah. So we are just going to different towns around the area to meet y'all. We just meet you.
Hug your neck.
We want to hug, and it really is far. Like I want it to be worth it because I want to meet so many people. But as just a quick gripe note, like it's been so early and such a long drive.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. I'm done bitching.
Now I'm about to say you almost did a podcast this week.
It's fun.
I'm, like, so
I like
tired.
Being out of the studio to do it.
It's nice.
I feel and like especially the weather though. Like if it was hot, I'd probably be like, damn.
We could not do this during the summer. Like if I don't care what salesperson came down and said, hey, we want to do this, I'd be like, go fuck yourself.
Wow.
It is too hot to be sitting outside on a parking lot. During July.
Yeah.
Girl, bye. This is the perfect time to do it.
I mean, a lot of people were coming out, so.
Yeah, it's been great. So you can see the complete list of, because I don't know when you listen to the
podcast. And I think it takes a couple days to, like, sort of kick in, so.
Right, right. We got a lot
of people this third day, there was a lot of people today. So tomorrow and the rest of them, I think, would be good.
It's hard to get people to, like, come in when you are handling kids and trying to go to work and drop them off at school. I think like the majority.
There were a lot of parents that were like, yeah, my kids are going to be late to school.
Yeah, right? They're like, just to come by, wanting to say hi.
Yeah,
so,
which is awesome.
But we appreciate it. So you can see the list of where we'll be. We're doing this for next week, too. Just go to hot1015tampabay.com. Producer Ryan, what are all your socials?
Radio McGibb, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook.
What about your XTube account?
XTube?
Where can we find you?
I don't have
there?
An account. I just sort of incognito browser.
Oh.
As my mom says, incognito.
What in the world?
I don't
know.
Is
that a superhero? Is that a comic book?
I hope that's a black vigilante.
It is, actually. Incognito. I think it is.
Man,
it's like the
it's
black
not,
Batman.
It should be. Oh, my God.
Holly, what's all your social media?
Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat is Radio Holly. And I have the Holly on Hot 101.5 Facebook page.
All of mine is Miguel Fuller, MiguelFuller on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And you can catch my like page, Miguel Fuller. You can find Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com on your Hot 101.5 app. Also, if you listen on iTunes, make sure to hit subscribe and rate and
yes.
write a review for the podcast. We would love it for your support. We will see you next week. Bye.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.